Howdy, neighbors. Ron Hayes, Beef Buzzing with you today with Dr. Mark Fisher of Texas A&M, talking about a book just out on cattle markets that he helped put together. Back in just a moment. Checking in on the Beef Checkoff, joining us today, Heather Buckmaster with the Oklahoma Beef Council. Heather, let's talk about a fall fun event that the Beef Council is involved in.
Absolutely. The Oklahoma Beef Council is the official sponsor of the P-Bar Farms Corn Maze in Hydro, Oklahoma this fall. The Corn Maze features the Beef Checkoff slogan, "Beef, it's what's for dinner," in vivid fashion, especially from the sky. We believe the event will be a great educational opportunity for families and an excellent way for them to learn about beef in a very lively environment. The Corn Maze opened on September 18th and runs through October 31st. Throughout the maze, visitors will come across multiple decision-making points with questions on beef's nutrition and sustainability. If the visitors answer the questions correctly, it will give them the correct way to turn, completing the puzzle faster while becoming more educated on beef. So beef will also be featured in educational information provided to visiting schools. To learn more about this wonderful family fun opportunity, visit P-Bar Farms on Facebook.
Thanks, Heather. And to learn about how the Beef Checkoff is working hard for you, go to oklabeef.org. Click on Cattleman's Corner. Dr. Bart Fisher, Dr. Joe Outlaw, Dr. David Anderson from Texas AgriLife, along with some other ag economists around the country, have put together a book that looks at the cattle markets and all the problems we've had going back to that Holcomb, Kansas fire a couple of years ago, and then, of course, the pandemic and all that's happened since that time. According to Dr. Fisher, who's head of the Ag Economics Department at Texas A&M University, former chief economist of the House Agriculture Committee, Dr. Fisher says,
"It covers a lot of ground. We have 10 different chapters covering a lot of different topics, but most of them really boil down to issues related to fed cattle pricing. Our center here, AFPC at Texas A&M, was the coordinator of the project, and there were several Aggies that were involved in the project, but we coordinated with faculty from around the country. We all convened back in June at a workshop in Kansas City where a lot of their research was presented, and then we took all of that back and wrote it up in the book that we've released."
And Bart Fisher says that this is all about cattle markets. This book is, and he says, perhaps the number one finding of this book is a reminder of where the alternative marketing arrangements came from. They didn't originate from the packers.
One of the primary findings is that innovation on formula-based pricing was really derived from the ground up. It really originated with the feeders who were looking at trying to capture value associated with improved quality. So instead of paying an average price, let's look for a way to be able to differentiate that and pay on quality. So this wasn't some top-down system that was imposed on feeders and cattle producers. It really originated from the ground up.
Dr. Fisher says the evidence is there that these quality deals have helped the cattle industry, but there are those in the cattle business saying these negotiated sales have gone too far, they're bad, and we've got to mandate cash trade for price discovery.
On one hand, you have a lot of folks, including policymakers, who are saying, hey, we should mandate that no more than a certain percent can be based on formula, or that a certain percent must be based on cash or negotiated transactions. And what we found in this study, and this is a result of the work of a few different authors in this book, one of them in particular found that instead of actually helping prices at the cow-calf level, that if you impose a certain amount of cash, that actually leads to less efficiency in the system, more transactions costs that are going to get pushed down to the producer. And in one of those estimates for a particular proposal that's on the table right now in Washington, it could end up negatively impacting cow-calf producers to the tune of about $16 billion over 10 years. To me, one of the most interesting findings in this book is that we hear about the need for more robust price discovery, and that in doing that, it's going to lead to higher cattle prices. And this book shows that may actually not be the case. It may have the opposite effect, and that cost could end up being pushed down to cattle producers.
Bart, that conversation obviously will continue, and looks like there will be policy out there still floating around on that. But the other thing we're hearing a lot from Uncle Sam and from the industry about is packing capacity.
I think that's the other side of the coin. There's no question that these two issues are related. I think one of the challenges we're up against is that, for those, and I grew up on a cow-calf operation, have been involved my entire life, and we all know the cattle cycle. But one thing we've also seen over time is that, we have seen packing capacity consistently decline over time. And One of the challenges with that, though, is that if and when folks attempt to do something about it or to add additional capacity, and you see a lot of estimates out there, you know, one prominent estimate was that we need 4,000 to 5,000 head per day additional capacity. But we've also seen, you know, news reports that we could be adding, you know, double that just through private efforts, some of which is backed by the initiative that the current administration is taking in making funding available for loans and grants for adding additional capacity. And so I think part of our concern, and it's a concern that's reflected in this book, is that, you know, certainly, you know, see a need for that being expressed out there. Our caution is, though, that, you know, in doing that, that it's done, you know, eyes wide open, knowing that there is this cattle cycle. And if too much capacity, if we end up having too much capacity out there relative to the size of the herd that's being marketed, you know, we could end up having the exact opposite or having additional unintended consequences, where then there's a lot of trouble in keeping those operations, those packing operations up and running. And so,
Dr. Bart Fisher on the book, The U.S. Beef Supply Chain Issues and Challenges. You've got the beef buzz on Ron.
Grondike Ranch is having their big sale coming up October the 15th, 1 p.m. at the ranch north of Nash, Oklahoma. They'll be selling 225 home-raised spring-bred heifers developed to be problem-free, long-lasting, productive cows. Sale includes 110 Angus heifers, 77 black baldy heifers, and 47 red baldy heifers. For more information, contact Ranch Manager Paul Kofsky at GrondikeRanch.com or watch the auction live at LiveAuctions.tv. It's the Grondike Ranch Sale, October the 15th, 1 p.m. in Nash, Oklahoma.
And that's your Beef Buzz. I'm Ron Hayes.